When will be Kuz? Brothers and sisters, the next subject in Vipassana is to deal with the balance two fetters, that is attachment and aversion. In regard to your analyzing body and mind, the activity clearly, and also how all activities are done as cause and effect, and you finally practice arising and passing away. Once you have completed the three exercises, if you have done it correctly, if you have understood the movement very carefully, as not done by anybody but as something that occurs with the mind and the body working together, there is no being as such within you who perform these acts, but you automatically perform them with the mind directing the body. If you have developed your knowledge sufficiently, you must be able to achieve the first stage of development, and that is stream entry. Once that exercise is over, when watching the rising and passing away carefully, there should be a rise of your concentration vertically upwards. It rises with the realization of the impermanence of things, and along with the fusion samadhi must take place. Fusion samadhi is realizing the impermanence in the first instance. The first stage of your development is not fully realized, but realized to achieve the fruition of the first development of stream entry. Impermanence, you finally realize it fully, completely at the age of your development of arahantship in yourself. Giving up of all, nothing left over, your work is over, all the effort have now crowned with success. That's the last stage of your final realization, and in full realization of the impermanence. Therefore, in the first instance, in the stream entry, when you are analyzing the arising and passing away, there is an upward vertical development of the mind. So to say, the mind is transcendent to a high state, and when it reaches that maturity, then the truth dawns to you. I need not describe how it happens, but when it happens, you will be convinced that you have realized the truth, that you have entered the stream. No doubt is created in your mind, because fusion samadhi, which reaches that stage of development, convinces you that you have reached that height of development, which is stream entry. Now we go beyond that. As I told you, you have now given up those fetters of doubt is no longer there in you. The realization of mind and matter and its function and their functions clearly has cleared your mind of believing that there is a being in you. This is cause and effect and nothing else. And also, these things happening clearly convinces you that Dhamma is a very, very practical and a subject one could realize through experience of going through these different stages. There's now no doubt about them. If at all you are used to some other habits in the nature of cults which you have adopted, indignance, that is Buddhism, that is the practice of Buddhism, you will give up all that and then now clearly go along the path for your development. Now the next stage that occurs is getting rid of attachment and aversion. I clearly indicated to you, attachment and aversion are the two extremes the worldling always falls into. And it is these two things that promote the desire, attachment and aversion. I also emphasized that in performing the activities of sense bases, you create a thought, and it is that thought that enables you to experience an object through a sense base. And that is a spontaneous activity of the mind that occurs suddenly. You hear a noise and the impact is felt by the eardrum, and the thought arises there, and you immediately, the spur of the moment that occurs, all this occurs, and thought arises, and you have listened to the sound or the noise. In the same way, any sense objects can tax the sense base. Natural incident that occurs is thought is created, and it is this thought that enables you to experience that sense object. In creating that thought, the consciousness put into practice, so to say, the five mental factors. Five mental factors are: contact is one, next is feeling, third is perception, fourth is volition, and the fifth is attention. These are the five mental factors. It is in connection with each of these sense bases that a thought is created. There are six places, therefore, thoughts are created. And in every such creation, the consciousness put into practice the five mental factors: contact, feeling, perception, volition, and attention. For the contact, there are contrivances in the sense bases which have the capacity to attract the relevant objects that attract that sense base. For instance, your eye is equipped with retina. Any object coming before the eye, it reflects in the retina. You have in the ear, the ear drum. When a noise is heard, the drum begins to vibrate. That's the contact. Your nose has an equipment in the middle of the nose in the shape of a hoof of a goat that has the capacity to attract smells. Your tongue has in the center of the tongue a very sensitive area. And the food that you eat must contact that sensitive area for you to feel the taste. Very often if you apply your end of the tongue, tip of the tongue, contact the food and you find that you don't have a taste, and you quietly by effort bring it to the middle of the tongue, and it is there that you actually feel the taste. That's the sensitive area where a taste is felt by you. In the body, except the fingernails and the hair, every part of the body has sensitiveness. Any contact with any part of the body, you feel it. Mind, of course, receives mental objects. And the contact is the contact with these contrivances that are in each of these sense bases to catch an object, physical object from outside. And when that occurs, that is what contact does. When that occurs, then the mental factor feeling comes into play. Mental factor feeling gives you an idea whether the object that has attracted your sense base, either the ear, or the eye, or the nose, or the tongue, or the body, or the mind, or thinking, whether that object is to your liking or not to your liking. That's all. Feeling gives you the idea whether the object is your liking or not to your liking. Then we have mental factor perception, which enables you to identify that object. If you don't know, then you would ask the question, what is it that I observe there? I get a peculiar smell, I can't identify. What is this peculiar smell I get? Such sort of doubts you create. If you do not know exactly the identity of the object that has attracted your sense base. Therefore, volition commits the act of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting, and thinking. Volition, chetana. These five mental factors are produced by consciousness. It's after consciousness has arrived at the scene, at the sense base, in the first instance, with the contact, then of course, it is this consciousness that immediately produces five mental factors and create the thought. All this will be done within a split second. There's an object and you see. You see as a result of a thought created in you. And it is done in a split second. You also smell something immediately. A thought is created for you to smell. Likewise, objects, physical objects, in contact with the bases, it is the thought that is created to enable you to identify them and make you the sense base to know what you have done, or what you have experienced. And such that thought, that first thought, is a spontaneous activity of the mind. Suddenly it does. Therefore, there is no time for that thought to do anything except to create the thought. And when it creates the thought, you see, you smell, you contact, you think, and also such sense-based activities are committed. Spur of the moment. Then one would ask a question. Buddha clearly stated that, you see, it is your pursuit of the present over the unpleasant that creates the desire. When you see something, it may be pleasant or unpleasant. That idea is given to you by the mental factor feeling. But you have not experienced anything as yet, whether it's pleasant experience or unpleasant experience. Just the idea is there planted in you. By the mental factor feeling, at the spur of the moment, you will contact something through your sense basis. That it is this feeling that you pursue. How do you pursue the feeling? Create thoughts. You create a thought to enjoy the present. Not only one thought, you create many thoughts and enjoy what is present. Integral to experience through the six sense bases, bear in mind, brothers and sisters, that you always expect something pleasant, not something unpleasant. So when you expect something pleasant and if that does not occur, and you experience something unpleasant, then you create an aversion, dislike for that object. Therefore, one of two things occur always in your mind in respect of any object attracting the sense basis. Either you, through this mental factor feeling, you create an attachment and enjoy that object by creating more thoughts. You expect something present always to your satisfaction, and when you observe something or experience something unpleasant, then it makes you to create thoughts of aversion at that experience you have gone through. Those are the two extremes that your mind will always fall into when you see something, when you smell something, when you hear something, when your tongue contacts the taste, the body contacts something outside, and your mind creating a thought. These are the two extremes. And it is these two extremes, one of these, either a present thing that you have enjoyed, that creates the attachment. If it is unpleasant that you have pursued to create a disgust about the disappointment, then it is that creates the aversion. Therefore, the two opposites are attachment and aversion. Attachment about something pleasant, aversion about something unpleasant. These are the two things that occur in your mind. These two things never occur together. If the object is pleasant, it is pleasant. If the object is unpleasant, it is unpleasant. Therefore, one of these things is always happening after every thought you create in your mind. And I emphasize the fact that thoughts are created at these six places. Thoughts are created connected with the eye. Thoughts are created connected with the ear. Thoughts are created connected with the nose. Thoughts are created connected with your tongue about taste. Thoughts are created connected with your body about contact. And thoughts are created connected with your creation of a thought. In all these six instances, either that thought that is created to enable you to experience a sense-based activity makes you to pursue that thought further. If it is something pleasant, to create more thoughts and enjoy it. If it is something unpleasant, create more thoughts and create an aversion to it. And this aversion and attachment are the two things that promote desire. Now you clearly know that the desire which you have in you is not the quality of the mind. It is something which you have created in the mind as a result of your pursuing what is present and enjoying it by creation of thoughts, pursuing what is unpleasant by creation of thoughts of unpleasantness. It is this activity which is subsequently done by you after you experience a sense-based activity or sense object that creates this aversion and attachment. And it is this aversion and this attachment that lead to the development of desire. Therefore, now it's clear now, you have the activity of the sense base in the way of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking. That's a direct occurrence in connection with your sense bases as a result of the creation of a thought. If you do not wish to go further, you can cut short the further activity by not thinking about the object. And that is what you should get used to do, is to pursuing something present and pursuing something unpleasant, which ultimately leads you to the creation of desire. What you should get used to is that is all unnecessary. That activity is absolutely not necessary. You are gifted with the mind to enable you to perform the task of seeing, perform the task of hearing, perform the task of smelling, perform the task of tasting, perform the task of contacting and thinking. That's all. So the thought enables you to perform that act. Subsequently, after you have experienced, perform that act of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking, what you do is you create more thoughts, unnecessary thoughts, and pursue what is pleasant, enjoy it, and create an attachment to it. Pursue what is unpleasant because that is what you did not expect. Therefore, you create certain amount of dislike towards it and then create thoughts about that dislike. So you automatically, without any purpose at all, fell into two extremes in every thought you created to enable you to see. After seeing, you fell into one of these two extremes. After hearing, again you created thoughts and fell into one of these extremes. After contacting, again you created thoughts and fell into one of these extremes. In respect of the six sense-based activities, the subsequent creation of thoughts of attachment to aversion, in regard to the experience you went through, by the creation of the spontaneous thought, you created further thoughts and ultimately fell into trouble. Because aversion or attachment promoted the desire. Promoted the desire. Therefore, you are now subject to desire. And what is your position now? You have created such a forceful habit in you to pursue every experience you gain through the six sense bases. And after experiencing the sense-based object which has attracted that sense-based, you are done something unnecessary in the way of pursuing unnecessary thoughts and creating desire and attachment. You are, as a habit you do it now. You do not purposefully do it now. It automatically occurs in your mind because you have been doing this for the last so many, many births. Is something automatic now in your mind. And this so-called desire is maintained by you now. As a habit, powerful habit. Desire is the cause of all your suffering. Because desire creates a birth for you after your death. Existence in this world is suffering. After your death, you will have, if you have no more births, then you have finished your task. But because of desire which you have created in your mind, this desire promotes births. And you suffer as a result. Buddha says, get rid of desire. And if you get rid of desire, there will not be any births. As a result, you gain your final liberation. Who created this desire? We created the desire. As a result of our foolish activity in the way of perceiving experiences gained by the sense bases, creating more thoughts either of attachment or aversion. Cause of suffering is desire. Cessation of suffering is getting rid of desire. Now, in regard to the fourth and the fifth aggregates, which belong to the lower group of five aggregates, you have to deal with next after you have gained your stream entry. And this activity of creating attachment to aversion is done by the mind. Therefore, you have to be very watchful. And also we must find out a way to get rid of this. Buddha, in the four foundations of mindfulness, preached to us to overcome desire. He said that thoughts of attachment or thoughts of aversion promote desire. And these are very strong defilements in you which creates birth after birth. develop your mind in the right way and get rid of half the effect of aversion and attachment, which is strongly maintained by your mind, you will gain the second stage of one's return. When you gain that stage of development, you will only come back to this worldly way of life once only. Which is strongly maintained by your mind, you will gain the second stage of one's return. When you gain that stage of development, you will only come back to this worldly way of life once only. After that, you gain your liberation and disappear. On the other hand, if you get into the balance leftover of such defilements, you gain the third stage of non-return. Where after your death, you have finished now all connections with the worldly life, and after your death, you automatically get a birth in the POA boards. There are 5 POA boards. And in that POA board, you get a birth. And you automatically gain your liberation there. So this second development and the third development are vital for us. And they directly deal with desire. Also, we know that it is completely a development of the mind that can get rid of these desires. Because the desires are mentally created. Attachment is a mental creation. Hatred or dislike is a mental creation. They are mental creations. Mind created. Now let us examine how Buddha has given us advice, the manner one could get rid of these desires. In the 4 foundations of mindfulness. First foundation of mindfulness is to be careful about your body and that of another. Create that attachment of the mind to the body. Get rid of that attachment. Overcome that attachment of the mind towards the body. In analyzing the body as a bundle of or heap of impurities, analyzing the body as the 4 elements. Further analyzing the body as of a dead person, as something that gets decomposed by stages, and ultimately the last stage, no body can be observed, everything has been decomposed. So there are various subjects of meditation in regard to the body, 14 in number. Then what is the meditation he asked us to perform in regard to getting rid of desire? For the purification of the mind in regard to attachment and aversion which creates desire, he stated that the mind performs 2 activities. What are the 2 activities that your mind performs? It can think and create thoughts. It also can feel. That is all it can do. 2 things the mind can do for us. Create thoughts or create feelings. Now, how do you create feelings? You create feelings
of attachment to aversion as a result of seeing something, hearing something. What you heard become the subject of an attachment or aversion. And these feelings he considered as good feelings and bad feelings, let us say. Bad feelings are those feelings that create a dislike in you. Good feelings are feelings that create a liking in you, attachment. Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your body, your mind, these are the places where such feelings are created. You see something, if it is your liking, then you create a good feeling. If it is something not to your liking, you create a bad feeling. And what is the advice Buddha gave you in regard to the creation of such feelings about things that you experience through your sense bases. Seeing something good or bad, hearing something good or bad, smelling something good or bad, tasting something good or bad, contacting something good or bad, thinking of something good or bad. What are you expecting to do? Buddha says, when you experience a thing like that, with effort and with intelligent understanding of the object and with mindfulness, don't allow the mind to either create an attachment or aversion to it. That is the advice he gave. Let us say you see something, some object. After you see the object, I told you that you create thoughts of attachment and aversion. That subsequent activity after you see the object. And what Buddha says is, don't create such attachment to aversion. How? With effort, with intelligent understanding of the object, and with mindfulness prevent such occurrence. Of course, he goes further. And in that instance, mindfulness should be mindfulness of the realistic aspect of the object, that it is impermanent. You see something, the next question that arises, next moment the thought that arises may be one of attachment or aversion to the object. But you immediately create a thought to enable you to realistically analyze that object as something impermanent. Impermanent, unsatisfying, soulless. So if you consider an object which you have seen in that manner, sincerely, would you create an attachment to that object? An impermanent object? Also, would you create an aversion to that object, an impermanent object? And that is the mindfulness Buddha refers to. You must be always mindful to protect your eye producing something of an attachment or something of an aversion, resulting from the experience in seeing something. Seeing is done by the spontaneous activity of the mind by creation of a thought. It is subsequent creation of thoughts of attachment to aversion that leads to the creation of desire. So to prevent that, you have to make a good effort. Be mindful, always mindful of the impermanence of all these objects. And also intelligently understand the situation. And do not permit the mind to fall into one of two extremes of aversion or attachment. That's the advice he gave. Now, how would you put into practice this advice? You must be always mindful. Always mindful. Mindful of what? Mindful of the impermanence. Mindful of the emptiness of the object. Mindfulness of the non-continuity or soullessness of the object. If you sincerely analyze each object that attracts your sense bases in that manner, you will never create an attachment or aversion to that object. What happens to us is, we see something and we get attracted to that. We forget about impermanence, unsatisfied to nature of things and the soullessness, and directly get attracted to that object. Thereby you create a desire, attachment. Or it is something which you did not like, you create a hatred towards it by creation of thoughts, and then you create an aversion to it. Attachment or aversion, one of these two things will promote desire. And without your knowledge, when you see something, you know that object is impermanent. Treat that as impermanent. Then there would not arise an occasion for you to either create an attachment or aversion to that object. You dispel. You hear something that's impermanent. You will never get a chance of creating an attachment or aversion to that object. You dispel it. You smell something, that's also impermanent. Sincerely you feel it, it's impermanent, and that's true. and you leave it like that. In regard to all the six sense bases, in regard to all objects that they attract, if you have the proper mindfulness to realistically treat every such experience you gain through as something impermanent, something unsatisfactory, and something without continuity, then you will not get attracted to that object, or you will not create a hatred towards that object, something impermanent. That is the clue. That is the secret revealed to you by Buddha, how to safeguard your mind from falling into the two extremes, one of either attachment or aversion. Both promote desire. If you check yourself by not allowing your mind to create an attachment or aversion to any experience gained through the six sense bases, then what you do is you starve desire. And the desire will finally fade away from your mind. Now the desire is a strong habit in you. You feed the habit by either falling into one of two extremes of creating aversion or attachment. And the desire becomes stronger and stronger because it is being fed constantly by you. But on the other hand, if you are very, very watchful, your mindfulness will not permit you to do that. As you see, the object may be very attractive from outside, but you know that that object is something impermanent, something unsatisfactory, something without a soul. Therefore, there is nothing attractive in that. You just leave it at that. With something which you do not like, you treat that object too in the same manner. Therefore, you won't create thoughts of attachment to aversion. Any bad habit which you have created in your mind, the bad habit remains and continues to act in you so long as you maintain that bad habit. So long as you feed the bad habit. Feeding means promoting the bad habit always by creating thoughts to help to maintain the bad habit. On the other hand, if you are very watchful, mindful, and not feeding this bad habit by other thoughts, then what happens is bad habit fades away from your mind. And that is the approach Buddha made in order to get rid of desire. I give an example, worldly example. There is a man who has been drinking for the last 50 years. He is in the habit of taking liquor in the morning, liquor in the afternoon, liquor in the evening. He cannot be without liquor. After about 50 years of drinking habit, maintaining that habit, he ultimately realizes that he has been a subject of misery to several in that family. He has destroyed that family entirely as a result of his bad habit of drinking. So ultimately he decides, I have been the cause of this misery to my dependents. I am not going to take any liquor from tomorrow. It comes to a case that I have to die as a result of not taking liquor, I'll face death. And from tomorrow onward, this man, he would not touch liquor. Strong urges, there urges are there in the mind. Take liquor, just the time for you. Your body pains, all that will disappear. A lot of encouragement lies that given from inside, but no, I shall not touch liquor. And he continues that good habit. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, it's not so strong as it was. Now he can be without liquor. And after about 2-3 months, you find that he is a good man, a virtuous man, accepted by everybody as a person who has given up this habit of taking liquor. Aren't you trying the same thing with regard to your desire that is created in your mind? You promoted the desire by permitting your mind to create thoughts of attachment to aversion. If you do not promote desire by creating such thoughts, then you starve the desire. What happens to the desire? Desire will disappear. No more desire in you. Every day, you find the desire disappearing little by little, little by little. Ultimately, after some time, no more desire. Why you have not fed the desire and maintained the desire? by being mindful. Mindful of what? Mindful of what you experience through your sense bases. As what? As impermanent, unsatisfactory, and soulless. What a clear approach would they have been. Then in regard to thoughts, I told you that your consciousness can do two things. Either make you to think, or make you to experience feeling. Now, in regard to feelings, I give you an explanation as to how you would prevent feelings overtaking you and creating attachment or aversion. In regard to thought, Buddha said, when a thought arises, thought of attachment, thought of aversion, when such thoughts arise in your mind, more oh, these are thought of aversion and attachment. I shall not allow this to happen. What is the object that has created this thought? Let us say, form of a human being. That form, it looks attractive. No, it's not attractive. It is something which has all impurities. I know what it contains. There's nothing attractive in that. You are. From the mind of its true nature. And that's something impermanent, something unsatisfactory, something which does not continue. Therefore, why should I get attracted? Likewise, such thought when they arise, you promptly take action to dispel those thoughts. Dispel them. Therefore, your mind will be free of feelings and mind will be free of thoughts. That is the manner Buddha has taught you in the four foundations of mindfulness, get rid of desire. Created by the mind in regard to feelings and thoughts. What we do is the same thing. We say after you gain your stream entry, be watchful. Don't allow these thoughts to occur. You can't prevent thoughts that help you to see, hear, smell, taste, think. The sixth sense based activity, they promptly occur without any information. Do you? Spontaneous activity of the mind, but you do not hang on them. You see, that's all. You heard, that's all. You smelt, that's all. You do not pursue them further and create an attachment to aversion. That's in regard to feelings. And if there be any thoughts arising, you are very watchful about the mind, you begin to now watch the mind. In your ordinary way, not in samadhi, when a thought arises about something, you say that is impermanent. Push it away. Again, another thought arises, that too is impermanent. Likewise, if you go on washing your mind carefully and dispel all thoughts that occur in your mind as impermanent, then what happens? Your consciousness begins to quietly withdraw. It is purposeless producing thought because you can't make the thoughts to take any positive action in this man's mind. He dispels them. As of no use. He does not appreciate these thoughts. It's when you appreciate the thought, when you enjoy something out of the thought, that thought more and more thoughts are created. But here is a person who is watching for some thoughts and dispelling them as impermanent. Impermanent. No, impermanent. Impermanent. And what happens? Less and less thoughts are produced by the consciousness. And you reach a stage, ladies, brothers and sisters, that your mind is peaceful and calm. No thoughts. Absolutely peaceful. What has happened to this so-called desire in you? Desire has been made to starve now. No food is given for its existence by the creation of thoughts of aversion or attachment. And the desire, power of desire vanishes. Little by little is affected less and less and less and less, like the drunkard who after 50 years of maintaining a habit, very strong habit, by giving up liquor and maintaining that condition for about 3-4 months, he managed to get rid of that habit of taking liquor. In the same way, this habit of maintaining this desire by you in every thought that occurs in you, now you have given up that and you have dispelled every thought that has occurred And as a result of it, there is no feeding done to desire. Desire, the effect of desire is lessen, and ultimately that's all that disappears. You don't desire. How is your mind? Very peaceful and calm. By getting rid of desire, what have you done? You have got rid of attachment and aversion. Those are the two defilements, aggregates. Fetters that bound you to this earth. Now this activity on your part, by starving desire, may enable you to give up these two fetters of attachment and aversion. And you, after getting rid of half the thoughts that promote desire, you enter the once eternal stage. In the development mind in impermanence and reach that height of realization where the fruition samadhi enables you to realize that stage. You go on stopping further thoughts and making the mind as peaceful as possible without any thoughts occurring. Then you will enter the third stage of non-returner. And in that condition you have completely dispelled of all unnecessary thoughts that you have been creating of attachment to aversion. Your mind is peaceful. Absolutely peaceful mind. You can maintain that mind for hours and hours in peace, complete peace, no thoughts occur. And these thoughts that promoted the aversion or attachment that supported the desire. Then what happens as a result of your mind? Be made in a peaceful manner without any thoughts. What happened to desire? Your desire has disappeared. That is the cessation of desire. Still there are leftovers, brothers and sisters, which I will discuss tomorrow. That is getting rid of your false views, I, mind and soul. Those things have to be got rid of for you to finally liberate yourself. But getting rid of desire, you have liberated at least the stage of being born in a pure abode, where you finally liberate yourself from there and never come back. It's as good as, I should say, attaining Nibbana by entering third stage. Yeah, brothers and sisters, this is a very, very practical path taught by Buddha. It's not something imaginary. And when you scientifically analyze the advice he has given us to get rid of the desire, the one and only defilement which he expects us to get rid of, to gain our salvation, our liberty, our freedom, you will see that is something very practical and something which you can do without much difficulty, with determination and mindfulness. May you all attain Nibbana. Thank you.